Romans chapter 6. Last time we were together, we looked at a little bit about substitution and how Jesus Christ took our place, the substitutionary sacrifice that he made for us. And we saw that not only was there a substitution, but there's also identification, which is vital for us to understand in order to understand really much of the church epistles. We'll see a little bit of that today, not all of them, obviously, but just a little bit. We saw that where Christ identified with us, and that once he identified with us where we were at, which was basically sin, then now we are allowed to identify with him where he's at. And we identify with not only where he's at now, but the various stages that he went through: his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, and his seating. And don't forget, someday we get to come back with him. That isn't identification, that's a reality, right? So that's, we're going to be with him. So we're going to be with him a lot, which is wonderful. In Romans chapter 6, now I should go there myself. Again, I didn't want to leave Romans. We did quite a bit on it, but because Romans is the foundational doctrine for us to understand, in order to understand the doctrine God has for the church, the doctrine during the administration of the mystery, then you're going to see that because it is the foundation, a lot of things you read later in the church epistles are obviously going to call you back to the foundation, right? And you'll see that. It's over and over again. And you always find that in the Word of God. When you look at some particular truth, like identification, for example, if you're just thinking about identification and you read the seven church epistles, you'll see all kinds of things pop out at you that are really all about God allowing us, or saying, you can identify with my son, where he's at now, and you can enjoy the blessings of that. And we'll see a few of those. In chapter 6, verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. There you go. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, there's identification with him, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, Paul writes in Galatians, he says, I am. There's this teaching that you die daily, all that stuff about daily. That's not what the Word of God teaches. We were crucified. We don't die daily. It happened once, was a one-time occurrence. And so Paul says, I was or have been crucified with Christ in Galatians 2:20. Verse 7, for that he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with him, with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Very simple. The entire doctrine of identification is in those four verses. All the things that happen to us, and then we also live with him. Crucified with him. Just like that malefactor we looked at in Romans on the cross, right? He had sins upon him, and Jesus Christ had no sin upon him, right? But in that identification, you see Jesus Christ died with the malefactor, right? He crucified, identified with our sin. There's another type of Jesus Christ, that malefactor, right? And then he said, look, he hasn't done anything wrong, And we said we had done something wrong. So he identified with us where we were at. What is that whole thing about the death and crucifixion and all that? Why would God? It's basically saying that all the shame, all the that Jesus Christ was basically outcast from the world. He was beaten beyond recognition by the world, and we identify with that because we are not of this world, right? We're not our home, right? This is not our home. So to identify with this crucifixion and that death is to identify with, this is not our home. We're outcasts from this world, right? This is not where we belong, so to speak, right? We belong with the Lord. Now, we had that spiritually. Someday we're going to have it in reality, right? But our identification to identify, we're not of this world. We're not to love this world. That's that whole, look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. It's so easy to get caught up in the things of this world and to identify very much with the world, but we're not of this world. Right? We are crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Right? That is not me anymore. Right? You see, Galatians, this is exactly what Romans says. That is not me anymore. You know, the whole. I've been very excited about the teaching of identification in the Word of God. There's a real freedom to live in identification with Jesus Christ. It's a real freedom. God knew exactly what He was doing when He did that, right? Because He knows we're not going to be able to do it. We can't. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to sin. He knows that, right? So Paul says, look, I am crucified unto the world. As far as the world is concerned, the old Paul, no longer there. Right? And as far as they see me, they're not going to ever see the old Paul. I am dead to the world. And the world is dead to me. So the things that I used to be into, guess what? I'm not going to be into those anymore. Right? There's a real change there. Right? To be crucified with Jesus Christ is to recognize that this world is not your home, right? You are dead to the world, and as far as the world, you know, the world is concerned, they're dead to you, right? It's a new. That's why it says newness of life. It's a new life. It's not a, you know, I kind of cool, but I'm going to just keep on doing what I always did before. Right? That's not. You can, right? But you're not meant to. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5. You know, that's why the New Testament is so full of exhortations for us to put on the mind of Christ. You're to put on the way that God wants you to think of yourself. You're to put that on because it doesn't happen automatically. But you can now because you're allowed to identify with Jesus Christ. That's the whole point. He did it for you. So God says, now you have the mind of Christ. You can put on the mind of Christ, right? And in 2 Corinthians 5, here's that verse again, 21. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. He made him sin. Jesus, he didn't sin, he made him sin. It's a big difference, right? To be, who knew no sin, see, he didn't sin. God made him sin, to be sin itself, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He identified with us that we now can identify with him. Look at the Isaiah 53. Another wonderful chapter in a forthcoming identification that would take place, right? 53. Verse 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he, talking about the coming of Jesus Christ now, shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. Remember, crucified by the world, crucified, cast out. See, there it is. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief or sickness. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Right. See that whole section talking about how he identified, he carried, took everything upon himself. He identified with us, took it all upon him so that we no longer need to take. If he took sin upon himself and he took sickness upon himself in our place, then biblically speaking, sin and sickness the reign of sin and sickness have no place in our lives. Right? There's no place for it. You know, some Christians will tell you, oh, God makes you sick. Oh, my goodness, that is such a lie, right? You know, you got to show me that in the Word of God, right? Because the entire truth of God's Word is He took our sicknesses upon Him. So are you going to say, well, God makes you sick, and that's, by the way, why don't you find a believer now to make you better, right? You know, they're both working for the same God. What kind of sick God would that be, right? Here, it's very clear. He took our sin and our sicknesses upon Him. Now, this teaching here about Him taking sin and sickness is not just some, you know, little doctrine that, oh, that's kind of cool. This is meant to be a heart-believed reality in our lives, right? We're meant to believe that day by day. We are all meant to believe that sin has no reign over your life, right? It's got no reign over. Are you going to sin? Anybody answer that? A resounding hallelujah, right? Absolutely. You're going to sin. God knows that, right? Devil knows that too, right? So you sin, you make a mistake, right? Well, there's two ways to go when you sin, right? One, we all know what they are, right? One is to wallow in it and say, oh my God, what a horrible, miserable Christian I am. The other one is to do what Romans says. It says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We looked at it in detail in Romans. That is not meant to say that now we go off and say, well, you know, because of grace, I can do whatever I want. That is meant to give you freedom in life. When you make a mistake, God says, I'm not going to impute that to your account. You just keep on serving me, son. You just keep on serving me, you know, my daughter. You just keep on doing what you're meant to do, because I'm not holding that against you, okay? That gives you the freedom to serve, right? That's freedom from sin. You're allowed to identify with that. The devil would like you to identify with the sin. He would like you to think about it, make yourself miserable, say, oh, I'm no good, I'll never amount to anything, what the heck do I know anyway, right? And yet identification takes you right up and out of that and seats you right at the right hand of God, where God says, you just keep on working for me, because I will not set that to your account. You reckon yourself to be dead. That's what it says, right? Is that what it says? Reckon yourselves dead to sin. That doesn't mean you don't sin. It means you are freed completely from the guilt of it. Completely freed. That's why it says you are the righteousness of God in Him. Right? You're free from it. Right? Wow. That to me is, you know, it's such a freeing truth that you never want to forget it. Right? Well, we see that, and sometimes people can get to the point they believe that for sin. How about sickness? Right? How about sickness? Right? You know, the cure for both sin and sickness is a spiritual reality. As far as God is concerned, if there was a courtroom in heaven, you know, somewhere, you know, if there was a courtroom there, and both sin and sickness lie condemned and, you know, put away and imprisoned for life, right, as far as God is concerned. They're not to have any rule in your body. So you have the right. You see, Jesus Christ earned the right for you and me to have authority over sin and sickness, right? You got authority over it. That's why you are allowed. You are allowed to go to a sickness or whatever and use the name of Jesus Christ. Because what you're doing, you are identifying with what He did for you. You see, you're identifying with what He did for you. And to say, sickness, get out of my life. You have no authority over me. Right? That's what the Word of God says. Now, this is not meant to be just something to make you, oh, I feel really cool, but I can go around and, you know, sing songs and write things on the wall. No, this is true, right? You can do that too. I don't think that's laughing. You can do that too. You're allowed to. But it's a reality. You know, we need to expect it to be completely gone out of our lives. That's what the Word of God says, right? That's what He died for, right? You know, we read about how, well, you know, if you guys still are caught, if we're all caught up in sickness, sin, sorry, then Christ had died in vain. Well, if we're all caught up in sickness, same thing, right? He didn't die in vain. We you know, take that to ourselves, confess that truth, and make it a heartfelt reality. Every moment, I remember we talked earlier before fellowship about what you hear, you know, make yourself hear the things God's Word says, so we start to think that way, right? 1 Peter chapter 2, you know, this verse, it's the corresponding New Testament verse to Isaiah 53. First Peter chapter 2. And verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin, dead to sin. There it is. You see, it's all over, right? The same truth, the same doctrine, same God. Right? That we being dead to sins, are you going to sin? Yeah. What does it mean? Dead to sin. Dead to the guilt of sin. No rule, no authority over you. Not meant to hold you in condemnation. Meant for you to serve in love, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes, by the way, you were healed. Right. There it is. Sin, sickness, over and over again. You know, we're allowed to identify with where Jesus Christ is at. Right? So we should not tolerate the condemnation of sin in our lives. Not tolerate it. Right? You know, those questions that God had, you know, had Paul asked by revelation, all those, you know, well, if, you know, if it's this way, then I can just sin, right? No. He asked those for a purpose. The point was to free us from in our service to him, so that we should, if we're serving and we're conscious of some stupid thing we did, you know, or some stupid way we're thinking, or some stupid way we thought think about somebody else, right? We shouldn't tolerate the condemnation of that sin in our lives. We said, no, wait a minute, I'm dead to this. The heck with that. I'm going to just do what I know God wants me to do. I know I'm going to make mistakes. I know I'm not perfect. I'm going to do that without any sense of sin, because God is not going to hold it to my account, right? The devil would like nothing more than to us be powerless and just sit around and be frozen and say, oh, I can't do this. I'm just, because the fear freezes us, right? Let's go to Romans chapter 6 again. So that's buried with him, crucified with him, and died with him. The other side of it now is raised with him, made righteous with him, conquered Satan with him, and ascended with him, and seated with him. Man, there's so much in our identification with Jesus Christ. What a wonderful work. You know, Patrick, you were praying before. You know, what a wonderful work that this, you know, that Jesus Christ did, you know, in obedience to God. To do that work. To see us, you know, who would have thought that? Romans chapter 6, verse 4, we just read it again, read it again. Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, you know, I put this verse in the back of my computer screen, you know, so I can see it every day until I believe it fully. Right? Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right? You know, essentially the verse is saying nothing more than just believe what I've done for you. Is what? Where do you reckon things? Right, with your hands, your feet. Right. I reckon so. Right. Up here, you reckon them up here. Reckon yourselves dead to sin, alive unto God. Wow. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Again, you'll see the same truth said in different ways, because God's concerned about what we hear. We should be too. Colossians 2, verse 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, Jesus Christ, in whom also ye are circumcised. There it is again. See that identification? With the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. See, he got that done, and we benefit from it. See, constant identification with what he did. Buried with him, there it is, in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him. You know, see, dead to the world, but then alive unto God, right? Risen with him to the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. We rose with him. We conquered with him, right? And you being dead in your sins, see again, same thing, and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him. Identification, having forgiven you all trespasses. Forgiven you all trespasses, any sin you may have committed, I think you're committing, or might commit. Right. You know, it's hard to put in words what freedom that gives a believer to us. Now, you can just be thankful every day and say, God, wow. No wonder David said, man, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Right? He probably said that more than once. It was every day. Man, blessed is the man. That's great. Got excited about it. Right? Noah says that about Noah even. I was reading Hebrews the other day, Hebrews 11. Says that about Noah even. Imputed righteousness to Noah. Right? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Right? They sin? Oh, yeah. Right? Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Again, you know, you see this doctrine right throughout the church epistles, built upon. So that's why it's good to understand what Romans says. So when you read these, you go, yeah, I understand that. You know. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the power, prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Horrible state. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Right. Identification. Quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, quickened, raised, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What it says. You know, buried, crucified, you know, all that stuff, the worldly junk, tossed aside, dead to all that. And then, okay, now that we've dealt with you being dead to the world and the world dead to you and all that, let's bring you out of that grave. And bring you up, right? Raise you with the Lord and seat you right here where your real life now is, right? That's where your real life is. By the way, that when it says sit together, Jesus Christ sat down, that indication, the Word of God is, when something is, you sit down, is what? Done deal. Completed. It's a done deal. Finished. That's it. Okay. Colossians, almost done. Colossians chapter 2. By the way, I think you know that, but I mean, just if you have forgotten, I know you haven't forgotten. Romans 10:9, right? Who can quote Romans 10:9? Ah, kids. Any kids? Okay. Why don't you all do it? Wow, this is exciting. They all raise their hands. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou, the Lord Jesus, yes, and believe, for with the heart man believeth, those two wonderful verses, When you make Jesus your Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, man, just in that mere little simple act, you get the blessings of this entire identification that Jesus Christ worked for. You believe, you know, with the heart man believe in righteousness, right onto what? Righteousness, right? You just believe onto it. It's there. It's given to you. Here you go, right? And confession unto salvation. Wow. Colossians 2:14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He triumphed over all the things that can possibly harm us or be against us. And guess what? Who was with him when that happened? We were. Right? You can identify with his triumphing over. That's why you have authority over spirits. Right? They know that, right? Remember they said they hear the voice of God and they what? Tremble, right? They tremble, right? You have authority. What would the adversary do? He would say, well, no, you don't, right? Because you know you don't, because you're not really that good a person, you know. He'll take you back to crucified, buried. He'll take you back there in a thought, in a heartbeat. He'll take you right back there. Forget about authority in the name of Jesus Christ. He'll take you back. Say, you know, you don't. You're an idiot. You know, what do you know anyway? You get sick. You sin, right? He'll take you back there. That's why we got to know what the Word of God says. Yeah. I know I sin, I make mistakes, and I get sick times. I know what the Word of God says, that sin has no reign over me, neither does sickness, right? So let's keep on going with the authority in the name of Jesus Christ and get on with what we were about to do, right? Right? You see, that's the beauty of identification. You didn't do it. We didn't do it. We just enjoy the benefits of it. What a blessing. So triumphing over them. Philippians chapter 2. Again, it's all over the place. Because he conquered, we conquered. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be, and there it is, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now we're to put that on in our mind, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Who has that name today? You do. You have that name. That's why verse 10, that in the name of Jesus Christ, every name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Right? Every knee must bow in the name of Jesus Christ. And you have the authority to use that name. Not because you're good, not because you conquered, but he conquered. He was sinless. God raised him, and we identify with that and are seated with him, right? So pull ourselves out of that. Reckon ourselves dead, but alive unto God, right? That's where you want to stay. That's where you want to keep your mind, right? That's what all of the church epistles, that's where all the church epistles take you, right? Constantly take you there. Satan has no dominion or authority over you. So even as much as talking about him, you know, oh, the devil got me this time or did that. Don't even go there, right? Don't glorify him. Glorify the Lord, right? You know, I know Job was made a few mistakes, right? We know that. I mean, you read the book of Job. But one thing I love about Job, right? What are the words that come out of his mouth, right? I will not reproach my maker. I'm not going to do that. Right? Yeah, he made some mistakes, yeah. But the words he constantly pleaded God's righteousness, right? Doesn't matter. Right? It doesn't matter what happened in his life, right? Yet he honored God, right? Because you can go down the road, you can go down the tubes, going down and dealing, thinking about all the things that happened to you and all this, and well, the devil did this. Don't go there. Don't let our minds go there. Keep our minds where we are, seated the right hand of God, right? And to heck with whatever happens, you know. Colossians 1:12 says, back to Colossians. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, or by the work of his dear Son. See, there it is, that conquering over all those things that we read in Philippians. And in chapter 3, if you then, chapter 3, verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, or since, that should be since, ye be risen with Christ, are we raised with Christ? Yes. Here it is again, the same truth, right? Repeated in Colossians. Risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And by the way, you're with him. Right? That's why you can seek. You're there. Right? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead. You are dead. Paul said, I am crucified to the world. I am dead. The world dead to me. I'm dead to the world. There it is again. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's where your real life is. The devil may want to drag you back to the other one all the time, but that is where your real life is. Think those things. Concentrate on those things. Make those your priority. Make those the things that we put into this every day, day after day, right? Not the other things. Verse 4, where when Christ, who is our life, he still is, shall appear, guess what's going to happen? Then shall you also appear with him in glory. Wow. Right. You want to talk about the completion of identification? Right? There it is. We're coming back with him. Right? That's what it says. We'll close in Ephesians chapter 1. When we pray to him, he sees Christ. For we come in Christ's name. Right? He doesn't see our sickness and our sins, right? That's identification with Jesus Christ. When you go to him, he sees Christ. Because you're coming, you know, we always say, those aren't just words, you know, we throw it in the end of a prayer, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. No, right? You're coming to him in the name of the one who did all this for you. You come to him in his name, and that is what God sees. You might be looking at your sins and shortcomings, but God's not. He says that even the Old Testament hasn't dealt with us after our sins. Does it? No, it says. Cast them as far as the east from the west. Right? He sees Christ. Ephesians 1:15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul writing here, a wonderful prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and who was with him. You were, right? You identify with him being raised. So if that power is there, guess who has access to that power, right? He raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. We're coming back with him, right? This carries over. This is pretty exciting, right? It's carrying over. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Right? Through him, you have the ultimate victory over the adversary. Eventually, we know what the end of the book says, but in this life here, you have the right and the authority to walk in all of God's ability because of what God did when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So, you know, here you are, you're buried with him, you're dead, died with him, buried, you know, with him. Baptism into his death, all that dead to the world, no longer the world dead to you, and then raised with him, ascended with him, seated with him, right? And someday coming back with him, right? Man, what a wonderful truth, right? What a great thing to live our lives day by day. What a great way to face the week coming up, right? To think about all that you have in your identification with our Lord and Savior. What a great, wonderful Lord and Savior he is, eh? What a blessing. That's it.